The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ryan Tubridy with you at 9:05. This Wednesday morning is the 13th of November 2019, and we're here till 10 a.m. We have a busy show for you this morning, including an interview with Hillary and Chelsea Clinton, mother and daughter together, talking about, well, among other things, American politics, Donald Trump, fake news, real news, imagined news, and gutsy women. So that'll be a little later on the programme. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan at rte.ie. What have I got for you today? I have loads of different things. I kind of had to turn off the news at one point this morning. I just felt, oh, here we go. There's a lot of, and you can't do that, and you can't eat that, and you can't go there, and you can't drink out of that, and you can't put that in your tree, and you can't, I don't know. lads. Just give me a, like, even get to the traffic or just give me something. Sewage in the water, the climate catastrophe, protein bars are bad for you, sugar is going to kill you. I mean, there's just a lot of information to process. And then I turned over to Marty in the morning on Lyric FM for a moment. I share my radio love around, as we all do. And there he was playing The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. And I, honest to God, I felt I was in a chariot in my car going to work, thinking, now that's more like it. This is beautiful. It's a gorgeous piece of music. Then I started thinking, who was the Queen of Sheba? And what did she want? Why did she deserve such a beautiful piece of music? I know nothing about the myth or the legend of the Queen of Sheba. All I know is that I hear that song and it sparks joy in a musical Marie Kondo-esque way. It just makes me happy. But I've no idea who she is, what she was. I don't even know what work, I presume Middle East. Well, I would hazard a guess, possibly around the time of walls of Babylon or something. Hanging gardens of Babylon. I don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest with you. But that, just on that front, I just needed a little respite from the constant being told what to do and what not to do. But nevertheless, that is kind of slightly the nature of the world at the moment. By the way, before I get into the papers, there's another thing. I'm part of this book club type thing where I get sent a book a month, and I got sent this book by C.J. Sansom, I think his name is. Am I saying that correctly? He wrote Dominion, and presume it's a he. Dominion is the book, and it is kind of based in 17th century. It's got a kind of Wolf Hall feel, but a bit more accessible on the eye. On the ear, I think it's probably read a few pages of it. It looks kind of easier to get into. So here's my question. He's written a load of different books and people recommend it to me. Should I read him? And if so, where should I start? And tell me, 51551, because it wouldn't be a period of history that's of great interest to me, but it looks really well written. It reminds me of the Robert Harris Cicero trilogy, but done in Thomas Cromwell sort of time. Does that make sense? I hope it does. For those of you who are into that and understand everything I've just said, do let me know, 51551, because then I'll know. And that would be most helpful. And then another shopkeeping in my world is the idea that I was in a place in Roundwood in County Wicklow called the Roundwood Inn. Jürgen runs the place there, and for the last 300 years. Well, when I say that, I mean I was there as a kid with my folks. They always have a big log fire, chicken and chips in the basket. That's what it has always been. They roar laughing because they have menus, and I come in, I'm there quite a bit, and they don't give me the menu. They just go, the usual, yes, very good. And it's a beautiful part of the world. Now, he used to do, he doesn't do it now. I don't know what happened to it on the menu, but he did a thing called Apple Strudel. And the reason I mention is because I really wanted it recently when I went in, and it wasn't on the menu. And I just thought, well, and he would be of German extraction. The whole place has a kind of Alpine feel to it. My question is this, where do I get a good Apple Strudel? That's it. I don't want free. I don't want stuff sent in. I don't want anything free. I want to go and have a nice strong cup of tea and some apple strudel. It's the time of year, and somewhere not too far away from here, if possible. But that's it. And really authentic, if you can. Not that I know the difference, but a good one. Not some stuff that's made overnight in a big oven, multiplied by 10,000 and lashed out. Something with a bit more thought would be lovely. Now, listen. The other thing to say to you is the Irish Examiner is telling us today that be careful a little bit about it. He says, and this isn't really preaching, it's just a word to the wise more than anything else. Be careful of what you're posting. And I know this is obvious, but just in terms of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Google, because especially younger people, all those nights out and all those crazy times and getting your tattoos and doing stuff with people and whatever you might be doing, they could come back to haunt you. And I'm not going to read out the tips they're giving, other than to say in the Irish Examiner today, they give you a little guide, an easy guide to how to get rid of stuff. Remember Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind? Well, Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless social media account. That's what you really want when you're going for a job, because people post all these kind of things. And then it happens now, you know, when I mention a name in an office, I'll say, God, you know your man, so-and-so. And then I know everything. Well, I say I know. The guys around me just go, here. Yeah, there you go. There's a full dossier on who that person is. And look at that night out. It just could be one photo in the night out. And you're immediately going to go, oh, okay, they're a little more fruity than I realised. A little more risk in there. So just keep an eye on that. That's in the Examiner this morning. Ricky Gervais, who a lot of people don't like, a lot of people love. I happen to think he's one of the funniest people of all time. I could watch him in anything for the most part. And he said in the past, I'm never going to present the Golden Globes again. And now he said, I am going to present the Golden Globes in 2020, in January, January 5th. It'll be the fifth time he's hosted. The last time was 2016. He said in a statement, once again, they've made me an offer I can't refuse, but this is the very last time I'm doing this, which could make for a fun evening. He'll say everything. He's got this lovely approach to life, which is it's as if every day he could die the next day. So he'll say anything because he doesn't really care, because he could be hit by a bus. I think he lives that sort of way. That's my impression of it anyway. And you can hear that in this. This is him hosting the Golden Globe. This is his takedown of the idiocy of the trinket that is the actual Golden Globe Award.
Listen, if you do win tonight, remember that no one cares about that award as much as you do, okay? Don't get emotional. It's embarrassing, okay? That award is, no offence, worthless. It's a bit of metal that some nice old confused journalists wanted to give you in person so they could meet you and have a selfie with you. OK? That's all it is.
Well, I'll put manners on you if you're going over there to accept a Golden Globe award at some point. Big feature in the Daily Telegraph today in the fashion pages. And what they've done is they've gone through some of the programmes they really love in recent times on TV, and they've picked out fashion items so that if you're thinking of buying a statement piece for your wardrobe, they pick out a green pea coat from Dublin Murders, for example, that would have been worn by Sarah Green. There's Helena Bonham Carter, who always intrigues me, is in an outfit there that they think might be of interest to people too. Also, Shiv from Succession, my TV program of the year, is there in her wide leg checked trousers and black polo neck, which is of great interest, no doubt, from tedbaker.com. The Morning Show, that's the Reese Witherspoon a TV program. That's a pocket belted coat is there. And there's that that piece from Gwyneth Paltrow's show, The Politician, as well. There's a printed blouse from that. So anyway, look, it's and his Dark Materials gets a run out there. I just quite like the fashion there that they are highlighting for the most part in that piece about when you watch something on TV and go, I love that. Where could I get that? It doesn't happen for men as much, but certainly it happens for a lot of women. And I know a lot of people are very excited about the prospect of Friends returning as a reunion. And Friends is something that, not that it passed me by, I did watch it a bit, but I can't partake in conversations about, that involve people quoting episodes and chunks of it to each other, because I just didn't watch it enough. So I'm not on that level. But I do understand that there's great excitement at the prospect of a Friends reunion. And I think every day for the last month there's been a Friends reunion story in the papers, but they do seem to be edging closer to it at the moment, and that is something that will be of great excitement to those who are Friends fanatics. Shall we put it that way? I am a big fan of the James Bond series, and I'm looking forward to the new one with Daniel Craig. I don't know who's doing this, the Bond tune for that. Hopefully it's somebody half decent. I was only thinking of Sam Smith the other day, how much I disliked it, his Bond song, when I heard it first, and then I absolutely loved it, and I continued to love it. I just really loved it. Yeah, it's funny how you can dislike something and then suddenly love it all of a sudden. The mind plays tricks. It's a bit like crosswords. You could do a lash through a crossword yesterday. It took me no time at all. Then I tried another one this morning and I couldn't get three clues right. Your head, your mind plays tricks, and some days you're on fire, and some days you're lacking an engine or two. But rumour has it that 007 is a married man in the new James Bond. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he got married in the series early on. There's an episode, there's one film that he does get married, but in the new film he's married again, and if his creator's own life is anything to go by, don't expect him to be a faithful husband. A trove of letters between the author Ian Fleming and his wife Anne reveals how their passionate relationship fizzled out after they were married. She wrote in a letter, "You mentioned bad old bachelor days. The only person you stopped sleeping with when they ceased was me." But it wasn't always thus. The letters demonstrate that Fleming used the Bond novels as an outlet for his libido, according to Sotheby's, which is selling the collection with an estimate of, wait for it, £300,000 sterling to buy this. They also reveal his frustrations over producing the 007 stories, at one point saying he was desperately tired of that ass Bond. And the relationship between Fleming and Anne was tempestuous and complicated. They met in 1934 when Anne was married to Shane, the third Baron O'Neill. She began affairs with Fleming and with Esmond, Viscount Rothermere, marrying the latter in 1945 and then moving back into the Fleming world in 1952. The early letters are full of strange references. "I love whipping you and squeezing you and pulling your black hair, and then we are happy together and stick pins into each other and like each other and don't behave too grown up," Fleming wrote. Anne then wrote back, "I wish a fairy would arrive with a wand and make everything all right and give Esmond a perfect wife and put me in your bed with a raw cowhide whip in my hands so as I can keep you well behaved for 40 years. Many of the author's letters are written from Goldeneye, which in Jamaica, where he went each year to work on his novels. That, I'd say that was quite the spot in its day, Goldeneye. Francis Rossi of Status Quo is selling the guitar that he played at Live Aid. I just think this one's a little tinged with sadness for me. I just think if you're a musician that played this guitar at the beginning of Live Aid, wouldn't you want to keep it forever or hand it to somebody within your family? But maybe times are bad. He bought it from a used. He bought it used in Glasgow for £75 in 1968, and now it's going to go up for auction. It's expected to fetch £150,000 sterling. Bit sad, really. And Rod Stewart, our old mate, I think we can safely call him now, as long as he's not listening, has revealed a secret track after 26 years. It's a legendary railway track. Do you remember? This was a discovery for me that this guy, Rod Stewart, is mad about model railways. And he made this railway over the last 26 years, 124 feet by 23 feet, depicting an American city and its industrial hinterland in the 1940s, containing hundreds of buildings from track sites, switchmen, shanties, to vast factories and skyscrapers. It's called Grand Street and Three Rivers City and features a railway station crossed by numerous bridges at rush hour. There are period cars and lorries, as well as, of course, of trains. And it's all surrounded by lush landscape and dramatically lit in the colours of late afternoon sunshine. Rod told Railway Modeller magazine, "Oh, I love that this all exists still. I thought it was all gone or banned, but it's not, still here. It's good news." He said that the scenery and the structure modelling, rather than the locomotives or the trackwork or the electrics, are his forte. There's something outrageously gorgeous about Rod and his railways and think, yeah, I'm really good at the scenery, but I'm better than that than the trains. Are you, Rod? You're a good man. It's kind of sweet and kind of beautiful. All right, 51551 is the text number. Boris Johnson has kind of stopped doing press conferences now. He's kind of trumping a little bit, but to Donald Trump's credit, even though he's standing beside a helicopter every time he does one, at least he does talk to the press. He's very accessible to the press. I think Johnson seems to be a bit more on the run. And he did this sort of Vogue magazine style walk around, and they're kind of asking him questions. It's in-house, so it's all very controlled, which is fine if you want to control the message. And they ask him all sorts of silly, goofy questions along the way. Here's what happened.
And what's the most surprising thing you found about being PM? I was pretty incredulous the other day when I found out I couldn't actually get a Thai curry and to deliver to number 10 because of the security problems. The security, they were too tight.
And on that subject, fish and chips or a Sunday roast?
Fish and chips on a cold night on a beach. You can't beat it.
This one divides opinion, but Marmite, yes or no?
Marmite, yes.
What's your favourite band?
Look, this is either The Clash or it's the Rolling Stones, and mainly I listen to the Rolling Stones nowadays, so you can make of that what you will.
Why not? All right, 9:20, we are open for business. Heaps of texts coming in on everything, books and strudels and Bond and everything else. We get to all of those after this track. We're open for business. It's the Rolling Stones at 9:24. Anne and Lucan went to see the Ken Loach film Sorry We Missed You in the Lighthouse Cinema. Thanks for highlighting it on your show a few weeks ago. We really enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm glad you got to see it. And it's a very, very grim film that absolutely stayed with me. Paul Laverty was the writer of that film that we interviewed not too long ago. So be warned, it's heavy, 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 but really good. If so, you don't want to be in the holier health going to see it. CJ Sansom, thanks for everybody for all these great recommendations. Read them all, says Susan, and I will certainly start. Way better than Hilary Mantel, says the text. Start with Disillusion. I will definitely do that. Fiona Nasfarnham, you will not regret reading Sansom. His Shard Lake series is great. Start with Disillusion and then do the series. Nicely written. He was a historian first, then became a commercial writer. Very well researched. Great. That's exactly what I was hoping you'd say. The books are excellent. This is another. Dominion is set in the 1950s, an alternative history where Nazi Germany won the war. That's the one. Actually, one of my brothers read that and highly recommended it. Winter in Madrid and the Shard Lake series set in Tudor times. Go for it. Okay, thank you for that. Apple Strudel. Claire says, bit of a drive up Matt the Threshers in Bird Hill. Do a lovely Apple Strudel, and they have a restaurant in Dublin too, so they might even do it there. Well, I know I've been in both, so I will return. And there's the Stonecutter in the main street in Knockram in County Wicklow, 45 minutes from Donnybrook. Do a nice job on that, on the strudel. But the place to go is literally called Strudel, a new coffee shop in Dunleary. They do lovely pastries, including apple strudel, fresh as you like. And once they're gone, they're gone. So you got to try it, from Gary in Gorey. Great name. And I wouldn't bother with CJ Sansom, says Audrey, but do try Stephen Saylor. He's a classics professor and has a wonderful series about ancient Rome featuring Cicero and many others. I'm writing it down. Brilliant research. Okay, I'll keep that. Thank you. Wonderful. Colin from Alsace in France has been on to say, moved over here from more than 30 years ago, and I remember the apple strudel in the Roundwood Inn as a kid. I had an awesome one on Monday, the 11th of November, 2 days ago, just over the border in Freiburg in Germany, and the Café Gmeiner, maybe not near enough for you. Paradox is that Armistice Day is a public holiday in France, but not in Germany, understandably. So all the French go east across the border to shop in Germany on that day. So try the apple strudel accompanied by a ball of vanilla ice cream. That sounds about right to me. All right, after the break, Hillary and Chelsea Clinton.